This is an ABC podcast.
This is Nijan Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinidar Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Mahalo lelei to our Tongan listeners and g'day to everyone and welcome to Nijan Footy, the number one spot for Pacifica footy news and stories in the rugby league and rugby union worlds. My name is Sam Wykes. And with me is my Cook Island Coe, who's a little bit under the weather at the moment. Is that right? Am I sensing
that? Nah, mate. I'm all good to go, brother. Kia ora. Kia ora to all our listeners. We have a huge show. See how quickly just swept that under the rug. What about 27 games of NRL is all done, and we're into the finals.
Finals so footy.
Straight into the finals, and some huge news about to break when we talk about the PNG Hunters. We'll also have the Pacific Nations Cup that you'll be covering, Sammy, and we will have Shelley Long, who played against Sulla Tongatuki.
Yeah, I knew that she was hiding something when we spoke to her on Friday when she filled in for Sulla. It's great to see that she got on and got the win.
So she'll be covering all the NRLW news, and then we have a special guest, Cassie Staples. Cronulla Sharks are flying, and she is playing a big role in that number one NRL team at the moment, and we have her here on the show. Do you know much about Cassie?
Yeah, a little bit. Fijian, played for Fiji last year, netball journey, played again another one, rugby
another
as well.
One.
But it'll be cool to sort of get her story on how she actually got picked up and played rugby union. It was through a bit of a training clip on YouTube. So a bit like the Tongan Thor, he got picked up on YouTube to get his first contract. So Cassie, same, but
she
different.
She played Australia Sevens?
Australian Sevens.
And then now Cronulla Sharks.
Now Sharky's fullback. So
Fijian International.
Moment of the week.
Sammy, I thought a few milestones caught my eye over the weekend. We've seen a fair few, being last round in the NRL. And the one thing I love about our culture is the way that they celebrate these special moments. So just to name a few, Siliva Havili, he played his 150th match NRL game on the weekend for the South Sydney Rabbitohs. He goes up in the crowd, you know, gets the lollies on his neck, and then receives a big bowl of cover. And it's skull down the cover. So they must have made it in the stands, must have been family. And then he's been gifted with a bowl.
Oh, was that that big silver bowl?
An actual bowl of kava, yes.
Oh, man, that's high tide, they call that. In the islands, just a big high tide. Get that down. Oh.
Richard Kenner as well. He played his 50th match for the Bunnies. And what about Marky Mark? Mark Nawanganita Wase, his debut for the Sydney Roosters. First touch, gets up in the air. I'll cover that in our review. But the way that he celebrated after with all his family and all his friends there, they had the shirts off. They had, the big head posters as well. Did you see that big 19-year-old as well playing for the Roosters?
Couldn't believe that kid was only 19.
Dila Selva'a is 19 years old. I think he was like, man, he looked like 120-something kilos.
He's still got that baby body as well, as in like, he hasn't even hit that athleticism, like that peak of getting those pre-seasons under his belt. His first run. Just off the back, just off a massive charge into him straight away at 19.
He came on and it was he had to defend first. And I was like, oh no, he's going to get in the washing machine. As soon as they got the ball back, bro, he takes the first carry. I'm like, oh, he's here. He's playing.
Apparently he's got a bit of a boxing background.
Oh, yeah.
Spars with
his brother as well. He's got
they spar with Paul Gallen and those type of guys. So he's got a good motor on him. But before you leave, we're going to go back to Marky.
Mm.
Marky Mark. How easy is rugby league when you come from rugby union, eh? Too
is this
easy.
The real moment you're about to bring up?
No. This is another moment I just thought would let's have a listen. Obviously, it's a hard name to pronounce. You did really well there. Mark Nawanga Nitawase. Is that right? Would that sound right to you?
Nawanga Nitawase, yes.
Let's have a listen to this.
Yeah, Matthew, back down to you. One of the debutants for tonight's game.
Yeah, with Mark Nawanga Nitawase. Mate, it's been a massive year for you.
Oh, Matty Elliott,
former
NRL coach.
Yep. Mark Nawanga Nitawase.
He's got the marbles in the mouth. Couldn't quite get it out. It's a tough last name. So we'll let him off the hook this time. But, Matty, go and practice, son. Go and practice because he's going to be scoring a lot more tries and you're going to be saying his name a lot more in the commentary box.
Hey, guys. I'm Alan Alalatoa. I'm from the Wallabies and you're listening to Nijan Footy.
Well, as I mentioned, all the regular season games are done and we're heading to the finals. But before we head to the finals, I've got my last review. So the Eels, the, what do we call it? Wooden spoon?
The spoon bowl.
The spoon bowl.
Yep.
The Eels saved themselves from finishing at the bottom of the table. They beat the Tigers 60-26. Tigers, unfortunately, receives the prestigious wooden spoon for 2024. You've had a wooden spoon yourself as well, Sammy?
Many a times. It wasn't as big as that game because that was a big occasion, packed house at Campbelltown. Mm.
Well, Tongan Will Benassini really stepped up in this match. He ran for 203 metres, made 6 tackle breaks and scored 2 tries.
2 metres in West Tigers territory. Plays the ball on the last tackle, their hands. Goes left, Dijon Arce, the left foot kick. Towering torpedo punt. Heath Mason, what do you got? Nothing. It bounces short of him. Bounces back to Campbell Gillard, 20 out. Short ball away to Bensony. Beats Mason easily to score. Oh, Heath Mason. So we just gave all these players wraps and they've all turned into... So it's a try to Parramatta. Will Bensony scores. Heath Mason didn't come close to the towering kick by Dijon Arce and then he hopelessly missed the tackle attempt.
What about the commentary?
What did he do there? Did he do the... Blah, 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 blah. Do you reckon that's off the cuff when he comes up with that?
Yep, definitely.
Yeah, wow.
Well, we mentioned his name. Fijian Mark Nawanganite Wase has entered the NRL scene in style. He scored the first try in the Roosters' 36-28 victory over the Rabbitohs. But the way that he scored the try, jumping up and getting over his opposition, then to grab the ball mid-air, plant it down for a try. Everyone, the crowd goes crazy, all his family, all his friends.
Now it's last play, Roosters. 5 out left-hand side of the post. Watson back here to Leanu. May, Keary, crossfield bomb to the right-hand corner. Up goes Mark. The one there, Tazza, and he scored the try. Mark Nawonga Nitawase. Remember the name. He's already played for the Wallabies, but that is the best possible start to his rugby league career. He scored the Roosters' first try, the first try of the game. 4-0 Roosters, kick to come.
What do you think of his performance?
Firstly, remember the name, but remember how to say the name. You know, for all the commentators, make sure you get it right, eh? It's not as big as you think. But outstanding debut. It was solid, and I think for himself, he belongs in that arena. Yep. I was saying to one of the other boys, rugby league at the moment, every game is a big game and has that level of intensity where I think at the moment with rugby union, it's floating in and out of high intensity and then not really much doing because there's no real coverage. It's fallen behind the game of rugby league. So seeing him showcase his talents out there on a big stage like that in his very first game, I thought it was outstanding. It's a credit to him. And then watching all the union boys out there for the Roosters, there's actually a lot out there now. Swaliti, Jared Hargraves.
Angus Crichton.
And then watching him do the team song, I was like, man, that's Jared Hargraves and Marky Mark. I'm thinking, what happened? How do we lose these superstars to our game?
Because I told you, mate, it's the number one sport in the world. But
in Sydney and Brisbane.
Mark's, I thought his performance, what I loved about it, he didn't shy away from that tough stuff. Like he actually went, it's easier to go play your debut and just let the game, like be a part of the game, but not actually get after the game. That's what I found. He actually went after the game. When he took his carries, yes, there will be some improvements. He'll have to find his carry. But what he did do well was he found the ground where some wingers with his size usually get picked up, driven back, especially without that experience. But if you notice, as soon as he found contact, he's trying to spin, find the ground, get up quickly.
I think that from rugby union, you've got to find the ground as well. Like you can't get caught up, right? Because it's a turnover straight away. So you do a lot of groundwork or ripping and trying to work your core to making sure. But it's just a matter of front and your front. We're trying to, you know, find the side and get that ball back.
And his aerial game, that's elite. You know, the way that he got up and got the ball. Him and Daniel Tupou would be having some fun at training.
Are they on the same side?
Daniel Tupou's a left winger. Side. Yeah, and Mark played on the right. So two big
spoiled
options
there. For choice there.
And a last quick shout out, the last game of the round, winner carries on, makes top eight, loses out, enjoys Mad Monday, and the Knights get the job done in Newcastle, beating the Dolphins 14-6. Kalen Ponga, the 2023 Dalian medalist, he had two try assists. I thought he was the difference. And then Samoan winger, Greg Marju, he takes 21 carries for 229 metres. So this weekend in the finals on Friday, we have the Panthers taking on the Roosters at Penrith. And on Saturday, we have two games, Storm versus Sharks, and then the Cowboys take on the Knights. And on Sunday, to wrap it up, we have the Bulldogs taking on Manly. So remember, you can hear every NRL game each week live on ABC Radio Australia.
Out of those games, or who do you think here is like the genuine like favourites and maybe a smoky? You know, we like our little smokies here of giving it a bit of a nudge. Who are you going?
Yeah, look, I think Storm's going to be hard to beat just the way that they played their last few games leading into the finals. I said Roosters from day one, so I'll stick with the Roosters. But my smoky will actually be the Cowboys.
Really?
Yes.
That performance on the weekend did enough for you? They got a chartered flight back straight away too.
They got weapons right across the board. You know, when you think of Helam Lukey, Valentine Holmes.
Jason Tomalolo.
Big Jace.
And the way Val Holmes is kicking at the moment, that's going to be pivotal come semi-final footy.
Yeah, who are you tipping?
I chose the Roosters at the beginning of the year, so I'll leave that one with you. But I might, yeah, I can't see them, the Storm. Losing, my smoky, I'm going to go the Dogs.
The Doggies?
Yeah, just because it's with my heart. Bill Moore, I just want to see Bill Moore lit up, literally probably lit up if they make it to make it to the finals, as in beyond the first game. But yeah, I'm going to go the Dogs.
Well, big game in Homebush when they take on Manly on Sunday. As I mentioned in the introduction, some big news coming out of PNG. The whole country watching. A massive win for the PNG Hunters on the Sunshine Coast, beating the Falcons 24-10. They book a prelim final spot. It was 10-0 at the 58th minute, and the Hunters ran in three tries in the last 22 minutes to win it. They were massive in defense all day, which set the tone and got them the victory. They'll play the North Devils on Sunday afternoon in Brisbane for a place in the Queensland Cup Grand Final. The teams played each other in round 17 at the same ground, and the Hunters beat them 20-18. So, game on this weekend. Let's go, PNG Hunters.
So they've done it before, and they're going to do it again to go to the GF. Oh, how good's that? How good. Up the Hunters. Is that all for rugby league? Plenty happening again in rugby league.
And we will catch up with Shelley shortly. And we've also got Cassie, our NRLW star, who will be sharing a bit about her journey. So plenty of league.
More rugby league. Outstanding work, T. And we're going to move over to rugby union for the Pacific Nations Cup. Fiji beat Tonga 50-19 over in Tonga at Dorfeiva Stadium. And I can tell you right now, Fiji didn't waste any time scoring points against the Mighty Red. They ran in three tries in 12 minutes. And
31 difference. What do we give you? I gave you a 35 point start.
You gave me 45.
45.
But to be honest, you know, Fiji got two disallowed tries as well.
Wow. But,
they were in red hot form. But T, you asked last Friday about the pros and cons of having a fly half play fullback.
Yep.
And what that would mean to, you know, strategy wise and how that would play out. We saw Zaya Armstrong Ravula play fullback, normally a 10 for the Drua. And one of the things that I said was their kicking game. When you're at fullback, he's probably got a little bit more time and space to be strategic on where he wants to place his kicks. And he did that from the get-go. The first one, he was able to kick long, chased his own kick, got the bounce back, and was able to, you know, set up that first try where Yosefa Musi went through untouched. Like a phase later, pretty much I thought it was deja vu. He does it again 2 minutes later. He puts up a longish, like contestable kick, and Fetuli Baya gets a favourable bounce, picks it up, scores as well, and then he scores one himself against his opposite number. shows and goes to Caleb Munce, who fell for his dummy and he went through and scored to be able to get Tonga back into the game. I think going into halftime, Mick Byrne, their coach, he would have lost it at Fiji just in terms of at his men for the way they started that first half to the way they ended that first half. I think he just would have went off at them. And as they came out, they got off to a flying start straight off the kickoff and pretty much just ran away with it. They were outstanding, just pretty much doing what they do best. Driving Moores was one of them. The Fijian flair was the other one, and being really strategic with how they wanted to play. For Tonga, I thought they were definitely better than they were against Samoa last week. I spoke about their defence last week, not getting their spacing. They got that bit right, but they just didn't know how to defend them more. And they just got punished in that area and just their kick battle as well. So that's where a lot of the points came from in Fiji. They came out on top and they now advance through to the semi-finals, which they'll play in Japan. They'll play against USA in that game. Samoa play against Japan in the other semi-final over in Japan as well, with the winner going through and hanging around in Japan. That's where the grand final will be, in Osaka, to see who gets crowned the Pacific Nations Cup champions.
Samoa a chance against Japan?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
So
I think
it could be a Fiji-Japan
I think it will be. That's the gut feeling, just the way all the teams have played. Don't get me wrong, Samoa, like they've shown glimpses of being able to compete well and show strategically they've got what it takes. But I just think with the way Japan play up-tempo at home, it's a dry track over there. I just think they're just going to come home and play that fast footy where the Samoans won't be able to keep up. So I believe that they will make the grand final. Tonga still gets to play this weekend. They're over there as well. They'll play against Canada. So it's a big week of footy for the Pacific Nations Cup. I think, Fiji has this in the bag. Put my house on it. What do you reckon, T?
Fiji? House? How many houses you lost so far?
I lost a few with all the bets around, you know, pronunciations of names, where people are from. So I don't have many left.
It's lucky you had a good rugby career and you got a fair few houses, eh?
Yeah, not anymore, mate. They're all going. The kids are expensive. But we'll cross over to the Wallabies. They were looking to go back-to-back in Argentina, but it wasn't to be. They suffered a heavy defeat, going down 67-27.
It's a record, eh?
Record. First time in 100 years.
Most points scored.
Most points put on them.
I think the last one was 61.
Oh, well done. Where did you listen to that? Where did you get that information?
Big fan, mate. Big Wallabies fan.
I love you, too. You're outstanding. Oh, mates. But, hey, look, if you look at that scoreline, you'd probably think from start to finish that they were horrible. But the Wallabies, when they review that game, they'll be filthy at themselves, because at one stage in the first half, they were actually up 20-3. They were playing some of the best footy I've seen. And they still went into halftime up 20-17. You know, but those two tries before halftime to Argentina, you could just tell that the cracks were starting to appear for the Wallabies. And then in the second half,
50 points in the second half.
50 points.
Wow.
Like, they just ran right. And I just think the biggest difference for the Wallabies at the moment, the fact is they understand how they want to play. I think the framework is there. It's all there, their detail. It's the execution piece, and I just believe that there's a big difference between their starting 15 and the players that come off the bench. You know, when Angus Bell went off, when Daniela Dubois went off, it's like their strike power was gone. It's not through the players not coming on, not trying. It's just I just don't feel like the opposition fear any of those players coming on the field.
So they need a Spencer Leniu type come on.
Absolutely.
Wrecking ball. Lift the tempo, change the pace of the
game. Yeah, just someone where it's like, oh, man, that guy just set a platform and now all of a sudden, oh, we've got to go after this person. Like, they don't have that. It's almost like they're licking their lips when the reserves come on. So hopefully they can have that week off, review hard, because they've got a they're coming up against the red-hot, well, I wouldn't say red-hot, but like a fiery New Zealand team who comes off the back of two losses to play against Australia in the Bledisloe Cup. But see, that's rugby union in a nutshell.
All good. Well, let's head over to Shelley Long for the long story short.
The long story short with Shelley Long.
Yes, our PNG Orchid star, and coming off the back of a NRLW victory for the Cowboys, we have Shelley Long. Shelley, how's the body?
It's feeling good. I actually feel very refreshed today. I went for a swim earlier this morning, so getting ready for the next week ahead.
How was the game against the Tigers? A huge win, 24-22.
Oh, it was great to get the win. I think the coach said he got a few grey hairs after that game. Very stressful. I was extremely stressed on the sideline for a little bit myself too. So, a win's a win. You take them when you get them.
Well, when we spoke to you on Friday and I asked that question, what did you do for captain's run? And you didn't tell me you were doing fitness. So I knew that you were probably going to be in there. You're a little bit cagey. So you got the game. So how was your performance? How do you think you went, especially, that prep time of getting caught in late again?
Yeah, I think this week, I learned a lot from a couple of weeks ago when I got the call in pretty late, and I learned how to adjust from that. I didn't have the best performance, but I took a lot of key points away. And this game, I was ready. I felt like I'd done all the work that I needed to do in preparation for it. And, I warmed the shoulders up before I ran on to the field, got that energy going. And I thought I did much better than last time.
That's good to hear. What position did you play?
I ended up playing back row, but I laughed about it at the end of the game. I said I felt like I was middle. I was doing a lot of work in the middle, but we knew that the Tigers, they're very dominant in that forward pack, so I just had to do my job.
Do you know, moving forward, whether you'll be named, like when the coach names the team, will you be named in the next week's team, or will you have to wait a little bit longer? How does that work out?
So normally what happens is we'll get told earlier, they might not release it, but they might. And then if it's not released, then I just have to keep my mouth shut and play on the day. So sorry for the caginess, but I did actually know quite earlier on in the week.
Yeah, well, we could tell. It's all right. You don't really have a really good poker face. and we'll run with it, but you don't have to confirm it until Monday when you come on the show. But we talked about Sulla as well. She paid her $400 fine to be able to play that game. What was she like out there? Because we did speak about the battle with her and your partner.
Oh, she was incredible for them. Unfortunately, though, she did get a head knock and ended up going off of the field. But I think, her dominant carries really led them up the path, and then they've got a lot of offloads as well in their game. So they're an incredible team, and I think they can take a lot away from that game. And I think with the next two games that they do have, they'll definitely challenge those teams coming forward.
Yeah, big challenge for them coming up as well. I believe that they play the Dragons towards the end of the season. So all the best, Sulla. We'll catch up with you on Friday. But after the game, what were the celebrations like?
Oh, they were good. It was pretty funny. We finally, got to have some drinks in the shed after. We haven't been having them, but
a couple of protein shakes.
That's it.
A few waters, yeah, of course.
Waters, Powerades, all the good stuff. But the morale's really good, and I think amongst the team, we know that we have to keep winning to make finals. So, yeah, looking forward to that the next couple of weeks.
Well, speaking of finals, you're only just out of the 4-on-4 and against. How do you think the end of the season's looking like for you girls?
If we can get the next two wins, we should hopefully make up the finals. But, you got to take every game as they come. So the next one is the Roosters. They had a very dominant performance against the Sharks. We'll look to hopefully get a win against them, but we know that it's going to be a challenge and a grind, and we have to come to every training session prepared to do the hard work.
Yeah, the Roosters look like they're finding their groove, and it was that they came up against a Red Hot Sharkies team and put a clinic on them. In a quick review or in summary of that game, what do you need to do to be able to just nullify their threats and be able to get some points on the board early?
Oh, I think sticking to what we do best. We know that we've got some really good footy in us. Our attack's great, but I think the main thing is that the Roosters in that game against Cronulla, they defended at 93%, so very high percentage. A lot of people were sitting at 100% tackle completion, so we need to make sure that we can match that, and that's key to the game. And I know that we've got it in us, so we just got to back ourselves.
And I've noticed that the Knights, you're playing the Knights the weekend after. Whether there'd be a bit more emotion involved in this game?
Oh, definitely. You know, we always have had, since the first game against the Knights, had a bit of love-hate relationship with them, but it'll be a very fiery one. Old coach.
There it is. Got it out of you.
To be honest, I was like, why is this one emotional? Like, what's going on in that team? And then it clicked. The old coach. There we go. Get that up, yeah. jokes.
And then also you girls, the Cowboys, you've signed a great player in Jasmine. How's she been?
Yeah, she's been great. She came in earlier last week. She's an incredible signing for us. Proud Cook Island woman and Tongan woman, and previously played with the Cook Island Moana. So she's got a lot of background experience in the rugby league scene, a great and fit forward. So she'll come in and replace China Pilata, who also proud Tongan, unfortunately did her ACL earlier on in the season.
Oh, that's sad news, though. There's plenty of ACLs happening in the NRLW. Yeah, sorry, what was her name again, Shelley?
So, Jasmine Tupou-Witchman.
Outstanding work. Some more good news for the Cowboys. Hopefully she provides a lot of impact leading into, hopefully, a finals berth.
Well, the Witchman's a famous Cook Island name, actually.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, I have to tell her that tomorrow at training.
Yeah. Why is it famous?
Just the well-known family in the island, yeah.
Oh.
There we go. Tea coming alive there. How good. But speaking of other players out there throughout the rounds, which are the Nijan players caught your eye?
Oh, it would have to be a Tessa Poole for me. Her 100% tackle efficiency was dominant in that Roosters game against Cronulla. And she's such a hard ball carrier as well. Very hard to stop. She's got an offload in her. So she really helped provide that win for the Roosters on the weekend.
In regards to the NRLW ladder, who do you see finishing in that top four?
Oh, I would have to say Cronulla, Roosters, Cowboys and Broncos.
That's it. I like it.
It's a solid top four when you think about it, especially with the way the Broncos started. Now they're finding their form. Same with the Roosters.
Does that mean Knights are not in there?
Knights, Knights might miss out.
Knights out. Only because if you watch that game on the weekend against Knights versus Broncos, the Knights were actually in front and the Broncos came from behind to win that game. So, you know, I think you can take a bit away from that game. Hopefully we can in 2 weeks' time as well.
Oh, yeah.
Well, let's talk about, we briefly touched on Tani Norris, the new PNG Orchids coach today. Has there been much more chat around her appointment amongst the PNG girls?
Oh, there's been a lot of excitement within the group. I think getting just a new coaching with some fresh eyes will definitely help us. Like I said on Friday, she's got a lot of experience with winning teams. And when we come into the Pacific Champions, that's what we want to do. We want to challenge for a lot of wins. So she'll be great for us. And I've got the afternoon. I'm having dinner with her this afternoon. So I'm excited to actually have a chat, pick her brain a little bit about how it's going to look for us.
How many times have you had dinner with the head coach, T? Just one-on-one.
Nah, never got that privilege.
Yeah, neither. I don't know how it works in this day and age, but for us it was it just wasn't a thing. Shelley, how did you get the invite?
Well, actually, it's not just myself. There is two other girls, SA and Sarika. They'll be coming along as well. But they reached out to us and said, hey, she's wanting to fly to Townsville to catch up with you guys. So that's a great move, I think. When you don't know the coach yet and you've got a big series ahead to meet them.
Oh, what are you ordering and who's shouting?
I'm ordering a chicken schnitzel with a side of pepper gravy sauce and PNG is shouting.
PNG is shouting. Chips or salad in front of the coach?
Look, I say on here salad and then I'll order chips tonight. Yeah, and as much as Tani brings a lot of experience into the game, Ben will definitely be missed a lot. I think he's done a lot within the space of the PNG women's team, and especially his understanding around, being a male coach within the women's space. He's taken a lot of really great things out of that and given the girls a lot of great things to move forward as well. So he'll definitely be missed by all of us.
Oh, I love it, Shelley. Absolutely outstanding. That's one way to get into a team. Probably should have did that more often, chicken schnitzel with the coach. Would have had more games. But anyway, that's good news for PNG. Pac Champs is around the corner. How are you feeling?
Oh, I'm feeling excited. Like, I think when you get to represent your nation and get to put on that jersey, it's another type of feeling. And, you know, my brain's already thinking about it, and I know it's an emotional time for me, especially when I get to represent PNG. So I'm trying to just focus on this season and with the Cowboys, but I'm definitely looking forward to being able to represent the Orchids.
And you get the Prime Minister's 13 game before the Pac Champs as well.
Yes, yeah, so if you don't make finals footy, you do get to play in the Prime Minister's 13 team. So, you know, you want to play in that because you get to go back. For me, I get to go back home, get to go back to PNG, but I want to be in finals footy. So, yeah.
Hopefully you're not playing because you're in finals footy.
It's a win-win situation, isn't it, to be in? So not bad at all to have that. But is that all for rugby league?
Well, for rugby league today.
Let's move over to the ad break for rugby union with a lot happening there.
Wake me up when you finish, mate.
For rugby union, the Wallaroos do take on Ireland this Saturday at 11:30 p.m. Whilst the Wallaroos A will verse Monasina on Monday. So a different time than we're used to seeing, but Monday will be a great game for the Wallaroos A team.
Thanks, Shelley, for the update. Outstanding work. would have taken a lot of time out of your day to do the research for Rugby Union.
Is that it?
That's it. That's it for the women's game. Hey, look, we're out of season. Super Rugby's finished. Come on. We can't continue to kick rugby when it's down. But Shelley?
Shelley, we've got a huge guest on shortly, Cassie Staples from the Cronulla Sharks. So have you played against her?
Well, thanks, guys. Cassie Staples, I think she's come over from a rugby union as well, so you could always ask her what made her make that move. That would be nice to know. Hey, Sam.
Yeah, it's always nice to know for every single one that we interview, so I'm getting the same answer. Apparently, it is the new game they play in heaven, so that's what it's going to be.
There it is. He said it.
I'm out. I've conceded. It is what it is, but I still love rugby union. Thank you, Shelley, so much, and we'll chat to you next week. Good luck this weekend.
All the best.
Thanks, guys.
Up the Roosters.
Malo lele, boku ingoa, tana pulata, and you're listening to Nisian Footy on ABC Australia.
All right, T, our guest this week is in red-hot form with the Cronulla Sharks in the NRLW, despite, the little hiccup last night against the Roosters. But she's represented the Fiji Women's Rugby League team. She's also represented Australia in the Sevens game and is part of just a long line of people that have broke my heart by converting from rugby to rugby league. We want to introduce you to Cassie Staples. Welcome to Nisian Footy.
Thanks so much for having me, guys. Looking forward to today.
Thanks so much for your time. I know it was a bit of a tough game against the Roosters. You know, how's the body and how's the mood in the sheds considering all the string of wins that you've had?
Yeah, look, nobody likes losing. I think nobody likes losing on like home soil or on a home field anyways. But, you know, it was a big loss for us. And reflecting on that loss today, I'm not saying it needed to happen, but it's instead of losing, it's more like a learning and a lesson for us. We were on a bit of a streak there and, you know, we've got a really great team and losing is a part of the game. So, you know, I back the girls and I back myself to, you know, reflect, recover and move on and learn from that game and hopefully, you know, pull through with the Broncos this weekend.
You girls have had a great season so far. What do you think the reason to that success is?
Look, we did a lot of work pre-season around our culture and our values and I think just a lot of learnings from last year and what we wanted to become and who we wanted to be this year as athletes and as a group and as a unit. So that came into play, you know, early in the season. It's something we really focused on. And then moving forward from that, our defense has been something we've been really critical of as a learning from last year. And, you know, just working on that every session, every week as something is, you know, really important a part of our game. So that's been, yeah, probably the two biggest things for us, our defense work behind the scenes and obviously our culture off the field.
But you talked about the journey of rugby league. You haven't been playing for a long period of time, but in that time, you were able to represent Fiji last year at the Pacific Champs. What was it like representing Fiji probably for the first time and representing your family and your culture?
Oh, it was incredible. It was something I've always wanted to do, and I never thought I'd get the opportunity to do that because I've obviously played sevens for Australia previously, and I just didn't think I'd ever get that opportunity. And to represent my mum's culture and, you know, our heritage and our family was something really humbling and an experience I think I'll never forget. I think the culture of the game over there and the culture of how they grow the game and their beliefs around the game is different to what I think I'm used to. So it exposed me to a whole new, I think, world of rugby. And I really, really enjoyed the experience. And putting on the jersey was incredible. I just, looking back on it, I think it's one of my highlights. I wouldn't have changed a thing.
Was the Fijian culture a big part of your upbringing?
Yeah. I mean, like, obviously, I grew up down the south coast, Batemans Bay, and there wasn't a lot of Fijians down there, but we'd always go back home every couple of years with mum, and we'd always go to the village, and mum and dad have got mum's house in the village. Actually burnt down when she was a young girl, and so mum and dad kind of rebuilt it so we could stay in the village with the family when we went, and we loved it. I have the best memories of being over there and being with the family and waking up to my cousins throwing rocks at my window, and, you know, we'd be going through the creeks and the rivers, and, you know, it's different over there. When they're hungry, they go and catch their food and they bring it back, and, you know, the women are cooking and the men are working, and it's a really humbling experience, and it's a constant, I think, circle of trust and connectivity, if that makes sense. Like, it's just everyone's doing their roles to make the family work. And I learned to cook and clean at a really, really young age. I remember I couldn't even reach the kitchen sink, and I'd have, like, my mum would get, we had little stools so we could reach the kitchen sink so we could learn how to cook and clean. And my mum would say to me, "You have to learn how to cook and clean so you take care of your husband one day." And I used to whinge about it, but she was right. I love cooking for, like, my family now, and sharing that love to, you know, take care of your family and provide. So I learned that at a really young age from my mum, and it was a massive part of my upbringing. But mum growing up, she was, you know, she was really strict and disciplined on us, and that's something that she grew up with. And I think it's transitioned into my footy and the athlete I am today. It's credit to her, I guess, yeah.
Pacific Champs coming up. Are you looking forward to donning the Fijian jersey again?
Yeah. Given the opportunity, I would love to take it. So it'd be incredible. I know this year it's in Fiji. I think the first two games are the first games in Fiji for the women, I think. And that'd be incredible. Like, I've played in Fiji at PG before, wearing the Australian jersey, and the crowd and the people are so supportive of the game. I think they, you know, in Fiji they love sport, they love rugby, they love league. They're massive advocates for it over there, but to put a jersey on for them and do it on a, like, you know, for a home crown would be incredible. Would love to do it.
What did you learn from last year's experience being in camp about putting on the jersey and what it means to represent yourself and your family and all of Fiji?
Look, the way they wear their jersey, I think, is different to anything I've come across before. That how they connect off the field before they connect on the field. And I think for me, that was a massive learning experience because I'm just used to getting on the paddock and, you know, you're training your guts out and you're sweating and you're crying and we're doing whatever on the field. But a lot of the work's done off the field before you step on the field. And, you know, being a part of that culture and that prayer, and it was something I just was never really exposed to. Like, I did prayer growing up with my mum and stuff, but being in a group of people that really believe in, you know, one thing and want to perform for, you know, one team or one dream or a country collectively, and sharing those cultures, you know, with Christ and Jesus. And that was incredible. That was a really incredible experience. And it was really, really humbling. And I just, yeah, I honestly loved it. I got to learn and hymns and songs. And by the end of it, I was speaking fluent sentences to my mum. I was calling up over there and having good chats to her. And I'd be like, and she's like, "Oh, okay, you got it." Because I used to, just growing up, I'd be like, "Mom, teach me more," but just wasn't exposed to it growing up. We just didn't have it around it as much. Yeah.
How did you use? We call it a unique experience, but in the island way, that's just a normal day on how you live your life. But yeah, how did you use that and prepare for a game and use that towards your advantage?
I use it today, actually. Like, I still use what I've learned over there. Just I think being still in my feet and my presence and those around me before I step on the field, and relying, I think, in my with my family and with my family on and off the field is something I do now more than ever. I think I used to get really anxious and nervous, and I still do, but I use some of the practices and the hymns and the songs and what we would say before we went on the field, even now, just to settle myself, to believe in myself. And, yeah, super, super grateful for the experience.
It sounds like you spoke to your mum a fair bit about your experience. What was her reaction when you would go back to her with, you know, learning a hymn, learning something new, and just letting her know what the whole what it means to wear the Fijian jersey?
I think for her, probably proud is probably the biggest word I think I could speak for her. I think she was just incredibly proud of me. And growing up in Australia, you miss those little 1%ers of the culture that you'd be exposed to over there if you were growing up in their culture. So for me, throwing myself into that and, you know, diving in with the girls around me and learning and asking questions, and then I'd be so stoked to call mum, and I'd be with all the girls and they would talk to her in Fijian and she'd be talking back to them in Fijian. I felt like I had this new community but something that I actually believed and belonged in. It felt really, really nice. And she was just, I think, incredibly proud.
That's so cool. You've played both rugby sevens and rugby league at the highest level, but where did your sporting journey begin?
Before all that, I played netball for a long time. And I was a swimmer. So my sporting journey started, down the coast. I remember before school, you know, it was really cold and the girls, we had to wear dresses. I went to a Catholic school and we all wore dresses, really long dresses. And all the boys would be on the field before school started, kicking the ball around and stuff, playing soccer. And I just wanted to play. And I put shorts on underneath my dress and put a pair of joggers on. And I'd be out there like slide tackling and stuff. Boys in the morning. I think that's where my love for sport and my passion for sports, it really begun at a young age, I think. I just was keen to be competitive. And it wasn't pushed. Like, we weren't pushed to be competitive. I think that's something that's probably driven more so within as you get older. You kind of like want to compete or you don't. But my family were always really supportive. Like, I loved competing, but I wanted to go to that next level. And I think, my dad and my mum, if you ask them, they knew that at a young age, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, beautiful. Well, when we talk about the sevens journey, it looked like you took a same but different path with Daniela Tupou in terms of YouTube being one of the reasons of you being picked up. Firstly, how did one of the seven staff, or Aussie seven staff members, come across your footage on YouTube for him to spark some interest?
It started, I was training at Live Athletic, which is a gym under an EP. His name's Justin Lang, down in South Sydney here. And I was training there just for netball. He was actually a head S&C for netball at a point in time. And heaps of rugby players come in all the time and they were doing work with him. And they'd always pass the footy after they finished our sessions and always be doing stuff together. And to be honest, I was like, I want to be a part of that. That's pretty much what happened. And at first I was kind of brushed because he said to me, have you played footy before? And I said, no. And he goes, what do you play? He knew I played netball. And he's like, it's contact. And I was like, people still get hit in netball. He was like, you play netball. So I kind of left it that week later. I was like, no, seriously, can you give me a shot? I want to kind of just do some footy stuff. Where do I start? And he's like, all right, if we're going to do it, you have to pretty much say yes to everything I say. And I said, okay. We didn't know what avenue we were going to go down. We were going to test AFL, we were going to test rugby sevens, and then rugby league was on the card at the time as well. Ruwan Sims was training at the gym I was training at, and she was keen for me to come over, but I don't know what happened exactly with sevens. There was a tournament in Lake Macquarie, and he said, let's go to it, and I went to it, and he pretty much just said, catch the ball and run, and then some stuff, and then... Yeah, I remember when I first went on the field, I put on boots for the first time and I thought it felt really weird on my feet because I wasn't used to it. I remember the feeling of it. And then I pretty much ran around like a headless chook my first game and tried to tackle everyone with the ball because I just didn't know that you meant to keep a line. And he pulled me aside and he said, stop doing that, grab the ball and just run. And that's pretty much what I did. He filmed it and then he filmed just us doing some stuff in the gym, just some athletic movements. And then Tim Walsh at the time saw the video online and invited me in for pretty much a day of testing with the girls. And that was back when they were based at Narrabeen. This is just after the 2016 Olympics. And then it started from there. Yeah.
So how long did it take you to learn all the rules?
I remember I got picked up for my I debuted 6 months later for Australia. I went to Canada and made my debut. It was nuts. And I remember thinking to myself, I didn't want to get tackled because I still was unsure about what happened when I hit the ground. Like, I was so nervous because I'd done work around, obviously, the ruck and the work on the ground and playing the ball. Like, I mean, obviously, like, placement of the ball. But I was still so new to the game that I just didn't want to get tackled. So I remember my first try, this was – I just ran that fast, almost ran past the dead ball line when I put the ball down because I was just so nervous about being tackled. But it took me, like, to be honest, I was there for about five or six years in the sevens program. I think I knew the rules properly about 3 years in.
Well, to be honest, they change it all the time anyway, so I didn't even know the rules myself.
Yeah.
Is there much of a difference in cultures with the sports? So the with your teammates, the girls, the culture of the organisations as well?
Yeah, there definitely is a cultural difference, and look, my experience at Sevens was I had a really great experience, so you know, I enjoyed the culture there, but obviously at times that wasn't for everybody. I think the program's full time, it's pretty ruthless. It's you're competing against some the best athletes in the world, so it's just. I'm not saying that it shouldn't be ruthless or it should be ruthless, but it is a ruthless environment, and it was tough to be in. It was tough for little girls to be in. At times, the culture could be off. You spend 24/7 with each other, whereas league's definitely a different game, and I think completely different culture for me, different experience, and a really welcoming environment. I remember my first session down with the Sharks. This is back in Harvey's when. They went in NRLW. I was like scared to go because I didn't know if everyone was going to. They were worried I was competing for their spot, which is what it was like at Sevens, obviously, because you traveled internationally, you're competing for massive tournaments. But I was welcomed with arms wide open and a lot of love, and I was taken back by it, honestly. I just didn't know what to take by it. But yeah, the culture is definitely different, both in good and bad ways. But in all honesty, my experiences in both codes have been amazing.
Yeah, the travel factor is massive, especially for the seven circuit, living in each other's pockets. So I got no doubt there'll be some ups and downs in that environment. But I just want to touch on a moment at the Comm Games just around it was a gold medal game, I'm pretty sure it was, and playing against New Zealand. 12-all, bell goes, and you get the ball and you kick it out on the full, and it went to extra time. But in that moment, obviously – there would have been some plenty of lessons there, and especially where you are today. What was it like after that game and not getting the gold medal and being a part of, you know, the result, but also the growth that you've had from learning from an experience like that?
Oh, massive. I mean, that was a huge moment, I think, in my career as an athlete and as a person, just as a human being. I think it was the first time I ever got exposed to, you know, a bit of adversity and, I guess, hardship around the stuff that can happen off the field in those types of moments. It was something I was not prepared for. After that moment, I got heaps of messages on like Facebook and Instagram, people like having a go at me about it. And it was a miscommunication. It was between me and Elliot. Elliot is still a really close friend of mine. And it was just miscommunication at the time, and being nervous under pressure and, I guess, not being prepared for it as best as I could. But at the same time, I did as much as I could to prepare for the Commonwealth Games. And looking back on it now, I know that moment hasn't defined me as a person or as a character, and that's something I've learned along the way. I've done a lot of work with psychologists and understanding how to break down that moment. And I think now I'm proud that, you know, obviously I made a decision to kick the footy out and we went to extra time, obviously, but I reacted in a moment where I thought there was an indication to react. So I look back at it now and I'm proud of myself for reacting and, you know, not doing nothing in a situation where I thought I had an indication, if that makes sense. Probably a lot of words. But I, you know, reflected on that moment and initially I was, devastated. I was devastated for weeks, and I was honest to God, struggled with it for probably about 12 to 18 months after it happened, and I was so nervous to take the field afterwards. But, looking back on it now and doing the work I've done, and I know exactly what happened in that moment, and I'm proud of myself for, I think, how I handled it and how it's shaped me today.
I love the way that you explain that. The thing that I love about sport is the way that it gives us opportunities to overcome adversity and then grow and develop, and it makes us better people.
For that experience, yeah, absolutely, for having that experience. Yeah.
So,
well, Cassie, honestly, thank you so much for your time and especially opening up around, you know, the lessons learned, but your journey. But outstanding work, and we wish you all the best this week coming up against the Broncos, and hopefully the Sharks can go all the way this year.
Thanks, guys. I really appreciate it. Go the Sharkies.
Thank
up, you. Up Cronulla.
Nesian knowledge.
Oh, let me stand up for this one. Because last week, your questions were awful, mate.
Well, one was debatable, but the other two are outstanding.
Nah, not having that. So, if you are new to Nesian footy, every Monday we finished with Nesian knowledge, where one of us will be asking the other three questions. We will keep a score, and at the end of the season, the loser will be getting a Nesian footy tattoo on their bum. So, I'm up. What's the score, Sammy?
I am winning 14.
To 11 and a half?
11 and a half.
I got no points last week, and if you want to hear those terrible questions, you go find them wherever you get your podcasts.
Who's Mark eligible to play for then? Marky Mark. The three countries.
Or Italy now.
Italy, there you go. Italy, Fiji, Australia. It's a great question.
All right, well, I'm up. First one. According to ChatGPT, rugby union was the 16th sport to hold a World Cup style tournament in 1987, or equivalent to a World Championship. If rugby union was the 16th, rugby league is what? A, the 10th, B, 14th, C, 19th, or D, 22nd?
Does rugby league have a World Cup? Is that what you call a World Cup? It's like
2026, we will be holding the rugby It will be held in Australia and PNG.
I'm going to go 19th.
Incorrect. It was actually before the rugby union, and it was the 10th.
Okay. Oh, that's not a bad question, too. I don't mind that. A little bit of history there. Well done.
Okay. So I got your rugby union one here. The Six Nations Championship is the oldest international rugby tournament. In 1883, this tournament began as the What Nations Championship?
Five Nations.
Oh, you don't want the options?
Oh, sorry. Go it again.
A, five. B, home. C, united.
Oh, that's actually a good one. As in what it was first called.
What it was first called in 1883.
Oh, well, it's definitely not five now. That was what it was before the Six Nations. So I'm assuming that it wasn't that. The United Nations, I want to say it's United. What was the other one?
Home.
I'm just going to go home nations because it's just a different name.
Home Nations Championship, correct.
Ah, yes. But I want to thank you, T, because usually I jump the gun and went five. You go, oh, that's your answer. You're done. You blocked it in.
I felt sorry for you, mate.
Last question. I like these questions. These are good.
They're good?
You actually do research on them.
You'll like this one because this is my favorite one.
Okay.
What is the name of the rooster in the kids' movie Moana? A, Sina. B, Moa. C, Hey Hey. Or D, Sammy.
It's C, Hey Hey.
Oh, you're killing me.
Mate, that's more. My kids are that age. They love that movie. And Moa is chicken in translation.
I thought
so
I'd get you on Moa there.
No, Moa, I know Moa means chicken, but it's Hey Hey. Because that was my favourite scene where Hey Hey's just nodding his head and trying to crack something on the boat. But anyway, T, I'll take those 2 points.
There you go, mate.
Oh, and that's our nice time's up. Nesian footy. Remember, you can catch up on all of our chats with athletes like Alan Alaalatoa, Josh Papali'i, and plenty more wherever you get your podcasts. O whalahi atu. Thank you, T.
Bring on the finals. Ka kite. This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.